We're on. Oh, there we are. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Hoops HD's Bracket Rundown, our Thursday evening podcast coming to you here Thursday evening, January 14th. This is the show where we run, where we on the air, we're going to be building a 1 through 68 seed list off the air. After the show is done, we'll be bracketing that up, and that will be on the post here as well.
It's down below us, Jen.
Right down there. If you look,
but don't
down,
don't look if you haven't watched the show.
Okay, you know, I can't. I've got to make sure I don't look, so I don't know what's going to happen. Because
right,
we've got David Griggs and John Stalico with us. They will be providing us with their picks for the C list. I'll be acting as an arbiter, breaking the ties and telling them where they're both crazy. Let me start by introducing David first of all. David, how you doing tonight? He's gone.
Oh. No, I mean, I haven't been drinking, Chad.
Okay. Looks like a new bottle there, too. And also with us is John Stalico. John, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing quite well tonight, as you'll see here in just a moment.
Okay.
Oh. Wow. John is dressed for the occasion here.
Yeah, I saw Sean Miller go through a suit, and I want to see how long it takes to go through this podcast before I sweat through my own tonight.
John Stalico joining us. John, congratulations, first of all, on your new business. Best of luck to you in your new ventures.
Thank you. All right.
Are you going to hire me, John?
I'm going to hire you as a cautionary tale as to what happens to people who try to get people out of work during the march from your service last year.
Well, that's a free service that we provide here at Hoops HD every March.
Yeah, I've had to go through mediation for a couple people who were complaining about that service, though.
Well, let's get right into this here. If you could see on my screen right now, this is our seed list. It's a little bit different format from last week. We thought we could blow it up a little bit bigger, make it a little bit cleaner with this new format here. But what you see here is 1 through 68 listed there. We'll also be discussing the top four teams out. We'll be tracking how many at-large bids are left so we don't make a mistake we made a few times last year and put a few extra teams in the field. That's what we want to do here is start right at the top, right at the one seeds. And David, we'll start with you first here. Who are your one seeds and in what order they are? And again, we are recording this a little after 9:30 Eastern, so a game that may affect that one line did go final as Iowa dismantled Michigan State on the road.
I'm going to have to explain my one line already because I just went back and forth between really six teams, but one of the ones that's in there might surprise you, but I just can't get them out there considering three monster wins and two of which were true road wins. I have Oklahoma, the overall number one. I love their win against their blowout win against Villanova on a neutral floor. Their only loss is to Kansas, who won't lose at home most likely. Kansas is my number two overall. I have the Iowa Hawkeyes all the way up here on the one line in the number three spot, and I have Michigan State number four. They've won at Purdue. They've won at Michigan State. And again, you look at their losses, a very, very close loss to Iowa State. I realize that there is some dead weight on their profile that almost no one seed would typically have, but look at what they've done. Holy cow. I mean, the good is really good. Iowa on the one line.
And Michigan State is your fourth one seed.
Yes.
All right. Obviously, that Iowa pick is going to be a little bit on the controversial side, I'm sure. But, John, let me turn to you first, and let's get who your one seeds are, and then we can talk about David's inclusion of Iowa as one of the top four teams in the country.
Well, I can say Michigan State ran out of excuses tonight with their performance against Iowa, so they can no longer play the card of Denzel Valentine being injured. But that being said, I'm going to say Kansas and Oklahoma is number one and number two.
In which order?
Kansas number one and Oklahoma number two.
Okay.
And then my other ones in order would be Villanova and Xavier.
Okay. Obviously, you both agree that Kansas and Oklahoma are 1-2, so let's kind of start there. I did agree with David last week a lot about the fact that what Oklahoma did at Kansas, even in the loss, was almost more impressive than what Kansas did in the win almost, and that Oklahoma's having that as their only loss was better than Kansas's loss, and now Kansas has another loss.
Yeah, so...
So I do agree with David that Oklahoma should be number one overall here, and Kansas number two. The question here is, Iowa, Michigan State, or Villanova Xavier, which means we have Big East versus Big Ten pretty much flat out.
Yeah, and if we're looking at the next line, Xavier and Villanova are my next two teams, so they're not very far from here. And again, I keep going back and forth on the order. Nova had a loss at home to an unranked team, which is something that one seeds don't typically do. But they also clobbered Xavier. But Xavier wasn't at full strength. I just keep going back and forth. The one thing Xavier hasn't done is beaten a true – it has won a true road game against a ranked team, which is sort of what you need to be doing if you're going to get a one seed. But at the same time, am I being a little too categorical about this? I told you I was really indecisive. Maybe I've been drinking too much, but I don't know.
Yeah, I know you're drunk because you said Nova lost to an unranked team at home.
Well, they did, didn't they? No, they didn't. I'm sorry. I'm thinking, yeah, never mind.
Yeah, Villanova has two losses, neutral court to Oklahoma and at Virginia.
Yeah, no, neither one of those
now,
are bad.
I mean, Villanova does have the head-to-head win over Xavier. However, Xavier with one less loss, and that USC win for Xavier is looking a lot better than it did a few weeks ago. Even the win at Michigan is looking a little bit better now.
What about Michigan State? I mean, they did beat Kansas.
Well, I wanted to go back to the team that we just skipped over here, and that's Iowa. I wanted to get – well, actually, let me get John's thoughts on both Iowa and Michigan State.
Well, I think Iowa has been very impressive in Big Ten play so far, but if we want to recap Iowa's losses, two of them were in Orlando against Dayton and Notre Dame. Notre Dame is the only team that I would say is – pretty sketchy, and Dayton, they've had one hiccup, but other than that, they've been pretty consistent so far this year. And then there was their collapse at Iowa State back in December. So I don't know if I would put them on the one line quite yet, but
where
I do have them.
Where did you have Iowa?
I have them number 11 overall, so I would have them on my three line.
What about Michigan State, John? What's your thoughts on them, and where would you have them?
Michigan State, I still would have them number 5 overall, so they would be at the top of the number 2 line. I'm not going to completely ignore their profile that includes wins against Kansas and Chicago, Providence and the Wooden Legacy, as well as a nice win over Louisville in the Big Ten and ACC Challenge.
Yeah, here's the thing. I love Michigan State's profile, and the reason I have Iowa ahead of them is because Iowa has beaten them twice. They haven't lost in Big Ten play, and they've also won at Purdue. It's just one of those things. I mean, how can – if you have Michigan State up there, don't you have to have Iowa up there? Although I do concede John's point, there is some stuff on Iowa's profile that you typically don't see on teams that are this high up. I go back and forth with it, but at the like right now, I still have Iowa up there just for those reasons.
David, I am overruling you. I still think Michigan State is up here despite the two losses to Iowa because I can't see the argument for Iowa with the losses to Dayton and the loss to Notre Dame and the loss to Iowa State. If they don't blow that game against Iowa State, maybe we're talking them on a one line, but I don't see at this point in the season a team with three losses. The Notre Dame loss, a very bubblish team, and honestly Dayton is not looking as good anymore as they were. I just can't see Iowa on the one seed with those losses already on the season. The Michigan State argument I do still agree with, despite the two losses to Iowa. One of them does have an asterisk next to it. That's why I would think that Michigan State should be here. It's the fourth one seed that I definitely do agree with you both. I think you both are kind of saying it's either Villanova or Xavier. It's kind of a big question, though, whether you're a one seed or a two seed, so we can't just say, yeah, pull one out of the hat here. And I do agree that, you know, the head-to-head win, Villanova over Xavier, is obviously big. However, Xavier only has one loss of the season at Villanova, who happens to be number one in the RPI right now. Villanova has two losses, Oklahoma and Virginia. You know, one more loss, is that enough to drop you down the line? John, your thoughts. Well, who should be up? Who should be first between these two?
I would still have to give the edge to Villanova right now if we're going with one of the Big East teams. I mean, we'll see how Xavier does this weekend if Ed and Sumner is going to be cleared to play against Marquette.
David, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I have Villanova ahead of them just because, again, losing at Virginia, who hasn't lost at home, I don't believe, and who's also high in the profile, and then losing to Oklahoma, albeit badly, Oklahoma's our overall number one, and they beat Xavier. I have Villanova just ahead of Xavier, but I they're pretty close.
All right, so we've gone ahead and give Villanova the last one seed, Xavier the first of the two seeds. The only team that's been mentioned so far that we have not put in the field is David's pick of Iowa. They may get on the two line or not, but John, who are your other two seeds? Who are your next three teams up?
Next three teams I have would be North Carolina, Providence, and Virginia.
North Carolina, Providence, and Virginia. David, I know you like Iowa, so give me two more teams after that.
I can't believe that. I thought that this would be crazy, but I have Providence and North Carolina up this high as well. The one team I have just ahead of Virginia, if you ask me to give you another one, is Miami of Florida. Let me clarify, Miami, Florida, not to be confused with Miami, Ohio on the two line.
Okay, so you both kind of agree on both North Carolina and Providence here.
Yeah. I'm curious. I didn't think you would like Providence that much, John. I certainly do, but I kind of want to hear what you like about them.
I'd like to hear the argument also after that Marquette loss at home, why they should still belong up here.
Well, they did lose a tough one at home against Marquette, but they also rebounded quickly with a loss at Creighton, which would look more like a classic Big East game with a score down in the 30s and 40s most of the way.
Yeah, I just think it was more of a hiccup. I don't like the term good loss, but I don't think it was overly damaging when you consider the win at Butler, the neutral floor win against Arizona, the good on their profile. I don't think it erased that, the Marquette loss, so I just kept them up here.
You both kind of agreed on North Carolina. I guess let me go back to this Providence. When I look at a profile like North Carolina, I see just a way better profile than Providence. I think maybe there's a big fall off for both of you after that. But why don't you like Miami better than Providence? When I look at this Miami profile, I've got the hiccup to Northeastern, but I guess I don't know. Maybe they're pretty close.
Miami? Oh, I have Miami. I think I have Miami ahead of North.
Ahead
Carolina.
Of Providence?
No, ahead of. Oh no, I don't. I have Miami just behind North Carolina. No, why okay. was that?
Well, if you notice the result for Northeastern tonight, that's going to look a little bit worse for Miami as compared to Marquette.
Yeah. Let me throw one other name. I'm going to put North Carolina and Providence in here. You both agreed on them. I think the other spot here, the three teams we have heard mentioned are Iowa still, Miami, and Virginia. Maybe I got to go back to John here to argue why Virginia is a better team than Iowa.
Well, if we look at some of the wins that Virginia has had this year, their best ones came in New York against West Virginia. They also beat Villanova, Notre Dame, Miami, and Cal at home. They did also beat Ohio State on the road, but that's when the Buckeyes were struggling. Although I think the one thing we would have to penalize Virginia would be their losses at Virginia Tech and at Georgia Tech.
And that's my hang-up on Virginia, is just they're not the same team in true road games. Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech aren't tournament teams. And, whereas I realize Iowa has some bubble-ish losses with Notre Dame and Dayton in particular, but I think Notre Dame and Dayton are better than Georgia Tech and Virginia Tech, and I think Iowa's wins are better, too. I mean, to go in the Michigan State and absolutely clobber them, that was amazing.
it's tough for me to argue to argue against what David's point here is about Iowa with those win at Michigan State, the win at Purdue, also the win at Marquette, the neutral court win over Wichita State, albeit that was an undermanned Wichita State team, and then the home win over Michigan State, undermanned again. No real bad, really, really bad losses. I'm kind of persuaded by David so far, unless, John, you want to take one more shot talking me out of putting Iowa here.
I think that should be up to Joby, but since he's not here tonight, I think we'll have to go with Iowa in this case.
I do want to throw one other team out there before we make this official that neither of you mentioned so far. Why are you not talking about a West Virginia team with only one loss and just that just beat Kansas?
They're close. I just don't have them up this high.
Okay.
They beat Kansas at home. I guess that's the big. I mean, beating Michigan State on the road completely trumps beating Kansas at home, I think.
Okay. Well. Then let's go right on to the next line. We're now on the three line. We have put Iowa in here, a little higher than I thought they would come in. But in the only teams we have mentioned so far that are not in are Virginia and Miami. But let me start with you, David. Who are your four teams on this three line? Again, I think you've mentioned Miami already. That may be one.
Yeah, I have Miami, Virginia, West Virginia, and I don't like their profile, but it just seems to be kind of a drop-off after that. I have Iowa State this high.
Iowa State. Okay. John?
Let me clarify, Chad. I have Miami of Florida.
Okay.
Up this high.
Okay. Miami of Florida.
Yes.
Along with West Virginia, Virginia, and Iowa State.
Yeah.
John, let me turn to you here. I know you do like Virginia up here, but give me three other teams to go with them.
The next three themes that I would have in below Virginia would be Maryland, the state of Miami, and West Virginia.
Okay, so
I do have West Virginia on the three line, but again, if we're talking about the quality of road wins, their best true road wins are Kansas State and Virginia Tech, and also a few neutral court wins against Richmond and San Diego State.
But they have one loss on the season. That's it. And they're in the Big 12. And they really look good against Kansas. I mean, really look good. I am going to go ahead and put Miami of Florida here, not to be confused with Miami of Ohio, followed by West Virginia here.
Not to be confused with the Miami that actually beat Northeastern earlier in the year.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I guess we have to put Virginia above West Virginia. They did play head-to-head, and Virginia did win the game. So.
Yeah, I did have them above West Virginia.
So. And West Virginia. The fourth spot, though, is kind of where we're at this contention here. David, you had Iowa State. John had Maryland.
Let me add. Okay, this is what Maryland has done. They beat UConn on a neutral floor.
Okay.
Okay. Yes.
That's it. You're done. and now, if we look at Maryland's profile, yes, they beat UConn on a neutral floor. They won at Northwestern, but I mean, they only have the two losses, both quality losses, if you want to say that, at North Carolina, at Michigan. I think
they also blew out Northwestern. For whatever it's worth.
They did, but I mean, where are the tournament where are the protected seed caliber wins going here? They haven't beaten anyone that's solidly in the field.
Well, let's
now, they'll get those chances. I guess it's still early enough to where you can't go strictly off the paper, but to me they don't even look like a protected seed. They did against Northwestern, but they really didn't against Michigan. They really didn't against Georgetown. They really didn't against Whiskey. They didn't really look that good against Illinois State. I mean, maybe I'm just catching them on the wrong nights, but a lot of the times they're not dismantling teams that aren't even tournament teams. Well, I don't get the... I mean, I thought it was crazy that this team was ranked third nationally, or it still is, I guess.
If we want to take a look, though, at the other choice here, David, you like this Iowa State team who has now lost 4 out of their last 7 games since the middle of December. Their only wins, very nice win at Cincinnati, but then their only wins besides that were Texas Tech and Coppin State at home.
Well, they did beat Iowa.
Now lost 3 out of 4. They beat Iowa back in December 10th before they started losing games. They have, yes, only one bad loss, I think, that Northern Iowa game, but they're just not playing very well right now.
Yeah,
they're also sharing the cellar. with four other teams in the Big 12.
Yeah, one is really good. Big 12.
Iowa State's paper is hurting, and their team is hurting. I don't particularly think they look that good either. It is kind of a drop off, but it's just when I look at the teams I have below them.
Well, I want to throw two names out there that neither of you mentioned, because I'm not convinced either way on either of these teams. First of all, what about Purdue?
I have them right behind Iowa State.
This is a team that's 15-3 right now, including a win at Pitt, a neutral floor win over Florida, the only three losses, Butler, Iowa, and at Illinois. John, what do you think of Purdue?
That Illinois loss is going to be a doozy, but they do have a few nice wins over Pittsburgh and also a shorthanded Michigan team. But also keep in mind, this is the same shorthanded Michigan team that still played their best game of the year at home against Maryland. I mean, I also have Purdue below Iowa State, but I also have both of those teams on my five line right now.
On your five line? Okay, well, let me throw one other name out there then that neither of you mentioned. And what about Texas A&M? Because I think this A&M team is playing almost as good as anybody else we're discussing in this area right now.
Well, I had them on my five, and I thought I was going to have to argue to get them that high.
Okay.
I like them. I don't know if I like them this much, but I do like them. Their profile's pretty good. They're playing really good ball. And I kind of went back and forth with them as to who I like more in the SEC. I'm surprised you have them this high. What about Arizona? And I know they're beat up, but I still have them pretty high.
John, what are your thoughts on all three of those teams? Sorry, both those teams, Texas A&M or Arizona?
Okay, I have Texas A&M at the top of my number four line, so I do think I would actually have them as my top SEC team at the moment. They're 4-0 in the conference. Their best wins were against Gonzaga down in Atlantis. They've also beaten Baylor at home. Also got a win over Texas at Atlantis, and they also have a win over Kansas State.
Okay, what about Arizona, though? Would you have them this high, with that – bad, bad week at the UCLA schools, are you?
I have a Pac-12 team on the number four line, but it is not John T's Arizona Wildcats. It's the USC Trojans after their win at UCLA night.
I got to make a call here on the three line, and in the end, without much of a consensus, I'm going to go back to it's either Iowa State or Maryland, and I'm more convinced on I like Iowa State's profile better than Maryland. David did sell me on that, which means that Maryland will be the top four seed here.
I don't even have Maryland that high. What do you have against? What did Purdue ever do to you? I don't understand.
Well, I think that
everybody have against Purdue.
Well, the three other teams we've discussed here for the four line have been Purdue, A&M, and Arizona. David, would those be your next three teams?
Purdue, Arizona, and I. I know that it might be more brand name, but they do have the neutral floor win over Duke. I have Purdue, Arizona, and Kentucky actually on this line.
Okay, so you have Purdue, Arizona, and Kentucky. John, who would you have after Maryland on this line? I know you mentioned A&M already, but
yeah, I would have mentioned A&M followed by Duke and Kentucky.
So you don't even have Purdue this high?
I have a Purdue number 18 overall, so I would have them on my five line.
What don't you like about Purdue that would have them this low?
Well, their loss to Butler in Indy is starting to look a little bit more suspect, even though the Bulldogs have played a tough schedule. But part of me is just very displeased with the effort they had against Illinois. But other than that, of Purdue's 15 wins, only five of them are probably going to be against teams that you'll see in the postseason.
Well, you both did have I'm sorry, you both had both Kentucky and Arizona in here, am I correct?
Yeah.
Not Arizona, but I agree on Kentucky.
Okay. We both agreed on Kentucky. So John, besides are you at A&M and who else then?
A&M and Duke.
A&M and Duke, okay. David, you have Purdue and Arizona as these next two teams.
Yes, I do.
I really do not agree with John on Purdue. I think that Purdue belongs up here.
Okay, if Purdue's in, like, my next one is Arizona, and I have Duke right behind them, so we're not that far off.
Okay, so we will go with Duke because you're close enough on that as the tiebreaker there. And followed by, so we'll start off the five line with Arizona, and the team that we have discussed that has not gotten in the field yet is Texas A&M.
Yeah, and this is right where I had them. So
David, you seem to be winning a few of these battles here tonight, so we got to make you. We got to change that.
Wait, no, that means it's good. That means we're doing it right.
But David, I know you like A&M. Who are your other two here on the five line?
Again, a team that we already mentioned. I have Butler still up here, and partly because I still like the win against Purdue on a neutral floor. So I realize that their paper is a little weak and they didn't look that good starting out, but I still have them this high. I have USC all the way up here. I really liked that win against UCLA. I think their profile is really solid. And on top of that, I think their team is continuing to improve as the season goes along. And right behind them, I have Utah.
Well, okay, you just told me A&M, Butler, USC. So that's the three we need for now. Okay. So let me go to John here. Behind Arizona on the five line, who else?
I've held my tongue long enough for Arizona, but I can no longer accept the fact that Arizona would be put above Southern Cal, especially when the Trojans have already won the first head-to-head battle and also have a 4-1 record in Pac-12 as opposed to Arizona's 1-2. Besides, if we're looking at NCAA tournament teams that both have played, the only win that Arizona has at this point is at Gonzaga. USC has beaten Monmouth at home. They've beaten Wichita State and Orlando. And they've also beaten Arizona. And I guess if we want to go fringe postseason, Arizona State and at UCLA.
Wow.
I think he just made a pretty compelling argument that USC belongs at 17, David.
Well, the one thing that you're missing is that I didn't have USC at 17. I had Arizona, so that's who goes there.
USC has just taken over 17 spot. What? Arizona at 18.
Just come in here and make...
John, we need two more teams. Would it be A&M and Butler, who David mentioned, or are you looking at somebody else?
No, I guess I must have slipped up when I noticed that A&M is still not on the board, but at this point I would include A&M and Butler for the remainder of the five line.
I was not as sold on Butler as the two of you are, but you both like them in this area, and I'm supposed to put them in when you both agree, so I guess we have to put Butler in here.
Not really. Chad, you're supposed to put them in when I tell you to put them in.
You told me to put them in, didn't you?
Yes, and that's why they're in. Yeah. Now that we're clear.
Okay. I mean, Butler, if you look at right now, 47 in the RPI. I know RPI is still slightly meaningless, but...
rather alarmingly low, though.
If you look at it, I mean, yeah, they beat Purdue, but after that, they beat Temple and at Cincinnati, and everybody's winning at Cincinnati. And they've got just garbage beyond that. Tennessee at home is their fourth best win. Third best win is Temple neutral court. That's not a tournament team. No. They have two wins over tournament teams. I would have definitely heard an argument more for a team like Utah here, or a team like Pitt even, or at Oregon, or South Carolina.
Pitt has a better record, but they don't have the strength of schedule that the Bulldogs do, though, so at least Butler gave themselves chances to get this high. Pittsburgh has been more of an eye test so far, but you can't ignore that 14-1 record that they have for an indefinite period of time.
And when you look at, I mean, Pitt, you know, I just said that Butler has two wins over tournament teams. Pitt has a win over Notre Dame. Okay, maybe I just...
Yeah, Pitt hasn't done anything.
I was gonna say Syracuse, but they're looking less and less like an NCAA tournament team by the second. From Monday?
Pitt did beat Detroit. Detroit could win the Horizon League tournament because they're hosting it, so...
Well, yeah, so is Oakland, sort of.
Okay, so Butler is in there. The only team that's been mentioned that we have not put in yet is, I believe, David, you mentioned Utah. Yeah. But John, let me turn to you. Who are your six seeds?
My next four teams would be Pittsburgh, South Carolina, Oregon, and Baylor.
So you don't Baylor even like, you don't even like Utah this high.
I like Utah on the 7 line.
Wow.
All right, David, you definitely like Utah here. Who would your other three teams be?
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised here. I had Utah as my next one. I also had South Carolina. I also had Baylor. I didn't think anyone would like them. I thought there's things I definitely don't like about them, particularly their Betty Crocker cupcake schedule, but they went to Iowa State and they got a big win. So those are my next three. I have Indiana up here.
Okay. Well, you both like South Carolina and Baylor, so they will be our next two teams in, possibly. Okay, things froze up a second here, so we're going to get this screen back. Beyond South Carolina and Baylor, the four teams that I mentioned were Oregon, Indiana, Pitt, and Utah. David, what don't you like about Pitt and Oregon this high?
They've done nothing on the road, and they've really done nothing except beat sub-tournament teams at home predominantly. They just haven't done anything.
John, do you want to defend your picks then?
Well, I'm going to go more based on their record at this point, even though they don't have a smattering of road wins yet. Although Pitt's win at Notre Dame, I think they were the first team that won in South Bend this year, so I do give them a little bit of credit for that. As far as the Oregon Ducks go, I know they don't really have a true road win against a tournament team, but Baylor, Valpo, Alabama, and Birmingham, and even UC Irvine, I could give a little bit of credit for. And that's not even mentioning Cal.
I'm not a fan of Pitt's paper, but I do have them. And again, we might need to do a contingency here because as we're recording this, they're playing at Louisville, which would, if they were to win this, I think it would shoot them up. It's been an offensively offensive display so far. But despite not liking their paper, I had them right behind Indiana, so they would have been my top team on the next line.
What about this Indiana team? John, why don't you like them at the sixth seed?
Well, maybe I'm just not too sold yet on Indiana because their only win against a surefire team so far is also against Notre Dame in the Crossroads Classic in Indianapolis. But other than Creighton, Wisconsin, and Ohio State, Indiana played a very soft non-conference schedule. And they didn't look good at all in Maui back in November because we have to look at their entire body of work, not just the 4-0 start that they've had in the Big Ten.
That's a fair point. Indiana's paper is pitiful.
I think, David, you may be overvaluing Indiana just slightly based on how well they played against Ohio State. I've decided to go for one for each of you here, Utah and Pitt, to finish out the sixth line. We do have Indiana and Oregon.
Oregon's nowhere. Oregon belongs not here.
I'm going to seriously entertain the Oregon for this near the top of the 7 line argument, as well as Indiana up there. But David, why don't you just throw me your 7 seeds here?
Okay. Yeah, Utah's in the field. Indiana. Okay. Here we go. Indiana, obviously, who I mentioned. A team I like more than Oregon, even though Oregon beat them, and I realize that this is really, really early to be pulling this team out. I have Valpo up this high.
Okay.
I have Louisville behind them, and then, again, the Road Warriors, I have Monmouth right behind them.
Okay. David, let me start with this Louisville team here. I know they're playing right now as we record this.
But, I don't like them. I thought that.
But you are the king of win on the road. Where are their road wins outside of a Wake Forest team that we have not yet mentioned?
Honestly, I was just afraid you'd laugh at me if I put them where I thought they really belonged. I don't even. It would not be hard for me to convince me. They had the win against Wake Forest at home. They won at NC State. That's really all they've done. It's more of an eye test, I guess. Although, if you're watching the game right now, you kind of want to gouge your eyes out. But that's a fair point. Louisville has done nothing on the road. I could easily make a case that they don't even belong this high. It's just as I was putting it together, this is just about where I felt where they belong. You know, in looking down the list, who haven't we brought out really that looks a lot better than they do?
If you look at an eye test, I can agree with you on the eye test discussion here, but when you look at the resumes, I'll take Little Rock's resume over Louisville's right now, and I'll take it by a long shot because they're almost identical other than the fact that Little Rock has won seven times on the road.
Little Rock's Louisville's paper is terrible.
Yeah, but John, let me go to you here. Who are you? Who's your seven line?
I can humor David for one of the under-the-radar teams that he selected, but it's not going to be Valpo, though. But as far as the teams that haven't been mentioned yet, in this order, I would go Oregon, Gonzaga, Dayton, and the Monmouth Hawks.
All right. We've got to make some decisions here. I'm going to go with David's Indiana Hoosiers. I'm also going to go with John's Oregon Ducks, so that'll piss you
both
off.
You can't have Oregon, who doesn't do anything, way up here. What you got to do to impress Chad? Just schedule a bunch of crap teams at home.
And while I personally do not agree with you that Monmouth belongs this high, you both have Monmouth at this range, so they're going to go in there, and you've both overruled me.
You know what Monmouth's done that Oregon hasn't? Exactly.
Lost to Canisius and Army?
Well, I was thinking...
But I will say this in defense of Monmouth, though. They have gone on a winning streak since the Army game. They haven't done any further toe stubs.
Yeah. They haven't done. That's only been three games since then. Come on. But Louisville, Dayton, Gonzaga, and Valpo were the four other teams mentioned here. I really think I would lean towards Dayton despite the LaSalle loss. But, David, what were your thought on Dayton here?
I don't like them as much as Valpo. Valpo won at Oregon State. Valpo's the only team that won at Detroit. I know that they have kind of an ugly loss at Ball State, but Ball State only has one home loss. If we're going to put Oregon this high, who hasn't really done anything other than beat sub-tournament teams at home, then why not put Valpo this high as well? Because at least they won at Oregon State. I like Valpo. I know their paper isn't that good at first glance, but when you look at it a little more closely, it actually isn't bad. And plus, I just like Valpo's team. I think they're really good. You know, winning at Rhode Island. Yeah.
Hey, John, you want to respond? I was going to say
Ball State actually has a decent record, but their power numbers, whether it's 184 RPI, 143 BPI, 144 KenPom rating, a 327 strength of schedule, that's still going to be ugly for Valpo.
Well, David, what about putting Gonzaga here then?
I have them about a line below this. They've won at UConn, they beat UConn. I'm sorry. I just don't think they've done a whole lot.
I'm going to kind of throw Gonzaga in here more as a compromise pick than anything else. Louisville, Dayton, and Valpo are the three teams we mentioned that are not yet in. John, let me go to you for your next four teams. I know you've mentioned Dayton already, but give me three more beyond Dayton.
Yeah, at this point I would mention Louisville, and then I would also mention Michigan after their big win, which is also important because they need to show the committee that they can win games without Caris LeVert in case he's gone for an extended period of time. And then this is where I would also add the Arkansas Little Rock Trojans.
Yeah.
If you're going to have Little Rock and Louisville in the same line, I would argue that Little Rock's profile is better. But although Louisville's would get a little bit better if they pick up this win tonight in a score fest here as we record this, Louisville up 20-17 in the second half. David, though, what does your eight-line look like?
Valpo, who I just talked about, right. I did have Louisville up this high. Although I concede, if we're going to value paper, I concede that their paper is awful. It isn't as good as Little Rock's. I also had Michigan up this high, and again, this is the one line. or I'm sorry, this is the 8 line. They're going to be matched up against the ones I had, and this is kind of a surprise, but I had the Missouri Tigers up here on the 8 line,
okay,
ready to go to kick.
David, just in case Missouri gets outvoted, who would your next team be?
Cincinnati.
Okay. Cincinnati, it's the first time we've mentioned them, but we definitely have had both you mention Louisville and Michigan, so they will take their first 2 8-line spots here. Dayton, Cincinnati, Valpo, and Little Rock are the 4 teams that have been mentioned. Let me turn to John. What don't you like about Cincinnati that you don't have them here yet?
I like the fact that Cincinnati does have a few tough opponents on their schedule, but they're not really winning enough close games to really justify being that safely up in the field.
I mean, that's like, a good way to put it. They're not winning a lot. They've written the book on how to not win close games.
they're 3 best wins at this point. The only one that I would say is safely in the field, and even this is a big if, George Washington. And then their other 2 decent wins, although one's looking better by the day at VCU, but they did finally get a decisive win against Houston last night in Cincinnati. All their other wins are going to be against teams that are bi-level games.
David, why wouldn't you have Little Rock at this high?
I guess I'm just not really sure what to do with them. I mean, I like Little Rock because I think they have a lot of decent wins, but no really good wins. I just think that, I don't know, when I look at Cincinnati, and I hate the term bad loss, I just can't, I mean, I can't get past the fact that they're 6 points away and perhaps 30 seconds away from only having 2 losses and having some, you know, 3 really big wins. Having said that, like, do you take a team because of what they've almost done? I do like Little Rock. In fact, like, the more I look at them, the more I think they're undervalued. But, Chad, since you keep bringing up Little Rock, let's throw them in. I mean, if you're going to force them in there, let's force them in there. There's another team in the Sun Belt that I have slightly higher than them.
I will say this on the bright side for Cincinnati. Their close losses this year, that's still better than when they were losing buzzer beaters to Tulane last year.
Yeah. One team neither of you mentioned. You're not interested in Cal here at the 8 seed.
Not quite yet. Okay. Where did I have Cal? Oh, I had Cal way down.
Okay.
Then I had Cal a little bit lower. I think it was at the top of the 10 at number 37 overall.
Well, we've made a decision here. Dayton is 31, Cincinnati is 32.
That's what we decided?
Yep.
Well, what about Valpo and Missouri?
And Valpo and Little Rock are very close to making this field. I've been Missouri, unfortunately, David, news just came in. They did not get the waiver from their self-imposed sanctions.
What the? They only had to appeal to themselves.
I move that my vote for Dayton be stricken and given to Little Rock instead. I would be disowned by my fellow Xavier fans.
I know that you like Little Rock better than them. I don't like Little Rock better than them, although Dayton is playing like garbage right now, too.
They are. I realize Dayton's paper is still pretty good.
And that's why they're there, in my opinion.
Yeah, but their team is just – losing to LaSalle is – I don't want to say that it's going to break their backs, but they get one or two more like that. You're talking about – categorically not making the field. You just don't see tournament teams with multiple sub-200 losses. Now, they don't have multiple, they have one, but man, was it a bad loss. And they haven't really been playing well recently either. Chad, why are you back on the screen?
Because I know you missed seeing me. I have a slight technical problem for half a second here. I've got to reload the screen up. But let's move on. Let's discuss the 9 line while I reload this. David, who would your next 4 teams be?
Well, okay, my next 4 teams will be the next 4 teams. That's okay. Just how it works.
We know you like Valpo.
Valpo! Yeah, again, for all the reasons. This one's going to be a surprise. It's a team with an incredibly weak paper, but it was an extenuating circumstance, and they've been playing very well lately. I have the Shockers all the way up here. Behind them, I'm not a fan of theirs, but I guess I just like their paper too much. I have Wake Forest, and then behind them I have Chattanooga.
Okay, can you explain to me Chattanooga with the Furman loss, but why you have them inside the bubble?
Yeah, I mean, I still think the win at Dayton is, oh God, who?
But we just said how bad Dayton is.
I mean, overall, I just, I really can't. Why do you ask questions like that?
All right, we should have the board back up here in a second.
Yeah.
John, he mentioned Valpo, Wake, and Wichita, and some other team that he's not going to win on. So could you name your four teams here at the nine line? I know you like Little Rock.
They won at Georgia. They won at Illinois.
Yeah, if this were last week, I probably could have made more of a case for Wake Forest, but they're starting to pile up too many losses in the ACC for my liking. But if I had to go with my next four teams, it's going to be Little Rock, Notre Dame, George Washington, and Seton Hall.
Why no love for Valpo? This is a very good Valpo team.
So it's Little Rock, Notre Dame, George. Okay, so you each have four completely different teams here, none of which are either Cal, UCLA, or Texas Tech.
Correct.
Or UConn.
I can see Little Rock over Chattanooga. But honestly, I actually like Arlington better than them.
Well, John, why don't you have Arlington up here if you have Little Rock this high?
I have, Arlington right around what was the bottom of my original nine line, so I would have them right below Seton Hall right now. I mean, it's kind of close between the Pirates and the Mavericks, but where I give Seton Hall a slight edge was their win over a healthy Wichita State team. Arlington's best wins right now at Ohio State, at Memphis, which is, I suppose, looking a little bubblish, but they also have one win over Georgia State in the Sun Belt, which does help, but I still want to see how they do against Little Rock when they meet in a couple weeks.
Well, I think that we're going to go with both Sun Belt teams here on the top of the nine line.
And then
I apologize, actually, David. What? I meant to put Valpo ahead of them.
Oh, thank you.
I was convinced by your argument about Valpo. Valpo, this is our mid-major line here. Valpo, Little Rock, Arlington, but I'm not going to finish it off with Chattanooga. I think at this point we're looking at, well, we might be looking at Wichita State, Seton Hall, Notre Dame. I'd like to, you know, hear your thoughts on those three teams.
I like Seton Hall a lot. I think it took them a little bit to get their motor started, but I think they're playing really well. And the thing about them is they appear to be getting better. And if it goes the way I think it will and the way it normally does, by mid-February they'll be playing their best basketball, and then all hell will break loose and everything will fall apart.
John, your thoughts on those three teams there, Wake, Seton, Wichita, or Notre Dame, I'm sorry.
Wake, Seton, and Notre Dame.
Seton Hall, Wichita, Notre Dame.
Yeah, I would say if those three teams, I would probably like Notre Dame the best right now, even though they're coming off, a win at home over Georgia Tech. And they also had a win against Iowa down in Orlando. And let's not forget one other win that's also kind of under the radar for the Irish, but beating Stony Brook could look a little bit better as the season goes.
David just won the argument because when you call a home win over Stony Brook a good win to get a team in, you lose. But I think we're going to have
Actually had Wichita ahead of Seton Hall. But
Well, we do have mentions of Wichita, Notre Dame, and Wake Forest as we go to this 10 line. John, let me start with you. Who are your four teams here?
Okay, the next four teams that I would have would be Notre Dame, GW, Cal, and this is where I move Connecticut down after their disastrous loss at Tulsa tonight.
I do like the idea of Cal and UConn here as well as the Wichita State and the Notre. I mean, David, honestly, I'm leaning towards Wichita State, Notre Dame, UConn, Cal, if I give you a chance to convince me otherwise.
Wake's not in yet. Let me see. Wichita State, I like, let's see. I mean, I like them. We don't need to talk about them. Hold on, let me get some notes here. Wake, it's just, I realize that they've dropped, I think it's three straight, but their paper is still pretty good. They have the wins over UCLA and Indiana. We already have Indiana in the field. None of their losses are really overly terrible. I know they dropped the game at Virginia Tech, but it wasn't that bad. And another team I like up here, it's I'm sorry. When you're this drunk and you have no arms, it's hard to go. I mean, this
you
is
do a have team, fins.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that beat Oregon State. It's a team that we like. Who's another team we're kind of watching? No real bad losses. They had a nice win at Stanford. Beginning of the year, they dropped a game to Iowa State, but they played really well. How about the Buffs on the 10 line? Chad's Buffs.
Colorado.
Yes.
You have Colorado ahead of UCLA, Oregon State.
I have Colorado ahead of Oregon. I have Wichita, Wake Forest, Colorado, and Oregon. That was my original.
John, you want to counter this Colorado argument, or are you going to support it?
I think you just wanted to make sure that there was no Big 12 conflict on with Baylor on the sixth line. Is that right? Is that why you wanted to make Colorado a 10?
Colorado is a 10. They're a perfect 10.
Well, I've been convinced about Wichita State, Notre Dame. David, what about UConn and Cal?
I have UConn way down the list.
You actually have Cal below Colorado.
Yes.
Colorado has beaten Indiana on neutral court, UCLA on neutral court, and Arkansas at home.
I know. As you would expect them to.
And lost to Virginia Tech, Richmond, and Vanderbilt, three teams we will not be discussing tonight.
Well, everybody has off nights.
You guys have asked me about Cal before, but since David Griggs likes to talk about road records, I'm going to throw 1-5 out for the Bears. I think their only win away from home was at Wyoming earlier in the year.
Yeah.
You counter that with losses at Oregon State, San Diego State, and Richmond and Las Vegas, and also losses at Virginia and Oregon. This is why I struggled with where to put Cal, because their best win is against Utah.
Yeah, in all seriousness, I don't have Cal anywhere near here. My next team down, because I would have Wichita, Wake, or Notre Dame, Wake, and then GW is who I had next.
Okay. So that kind of fills out our 10 line here. I am siding with John on the Cal. The Cal belongs here. I've got GW in here as the last team on the 10 line. I personally think that they're not that good, but with the losses at DePaul and at St. Louis, but you both like them here.
Wake. What don't you like about Wake? Who doesn't like Wake?
I think Wake is probably the next team on this list here, but John has not brought up Wake yet.
Okay, you like, because I like them better than you like GW more than Wake, John?
Well, I would have Wake after UConn, and then my last team I would have above the first four would be the Washington Huskies, who are actually at the very top of the Pac-12 for the time being.
Yeah, I am so underwhelmed by UConn. I have them, to give you an idea, I have them behind Alabama. These are teams that I have ahead of them. I have Alabama, Marquette, and Ohio State ahead of UConn right now. I just don't think they're very good.
David, why don't you give me your four seeds here, your teams here on the 11 line. We know John has mentioned Wake, Washington, UConn, and he hasn't given me a fourth team yet, actually. John, give me a fourth team.
Oh, I would go St. Joe's right here.
St. Joe's, okay. David, I know you like Colorado, but give me three other teams.
All kidding aside, this is where I actually had Colorado. I just wanted to, sometimes it's fun to make Chad crazy. I have Wake, Colorado. I actually have Alabama all the way up here, and this one's kind of a surprise, and I realize maybe I'm overreacting to just one game. I had Marquette all the way up here.
Well, first of all, you've both agreed on Wake here, so that will definitely take a spot. You don't like UConn this low, David. You think you're lower than this.
After tonight, yeah. I mean, they just have not done a thing.
What about St. Joe's?
I had them. Let's see. How far down do I have them? Okay, I had them out. I mean, I looked at them, but I had them out.
Okay, and John, let me have you respond to that Marquette argument and the Alabama argument. I think there's two interesting teams that really deserve serious consideration here.
Honestly, I would have had Alabama as my very last team in just by virtue of their win over South Carolina, and it came at a good time for the Tide because they were trending in the wrong direction after, I guess, going through some injury issues of their own.
Yeah.
But as far as Marquette, I still think they probably need one or two more big wins in the Big East, and I'm afraid I may be speaking too soon because they're going to have a great opportunity in front of them on Saturday when Xavier comes to town.
I have if you want to know, UConn would be my next team right behind Marquette.
Well, I think from what I've heard, this is what we're actually doing, and I'm surprised we're doing it this early, but Marquette is coming in here at 42, Alabama at 43, and UConn at 44.
I thought John just argued against Marquette. Wow.
He did, but I did not accept the argument.
Oh, okay.
I don't accept most of your arguments.
Well, no, Chad, you've made a mistake. Colorado's not in the field.
No, Colorado is not in the field. I have not accepted that argument yet. I will seriously listen to it at this point, though. The only teams we've mentioned, Colorado, Washington, and St. Joe's here for our next four spots. We've
got one more, if I'm reading the screen right here, we've got one more team that belongs inside the first four. So this is kind of a
big team. So let's start with this very next team here. David, why don't you give me an argument as to who you think belongs here above the first four?
I'm actually not kidding. Colorado is who I would have the last team inside the first four.
You have Colorado.
Yeah.
John, who would your team be here?
On the grounds that they suck less than everybody below them.
Washington.
All right, so the debate here is Colorado versus Washington. If we pull up Washington, I'm just pulling up Washington's profile. I understand what John sees here at the top of Washington's profile. With the neutral court win over Texas, home wins over USC and UCLA. You can't forget that home loss to Oakland, though, with Washington, and the home loss to UC Santa Barbara. And those are really damaging. And when you look at it, translates to a 68 RPI for them right now.
But they did also win at Washington State, which was something that even UCLA, which is another team in bubble territory, was not able to do.
Washington State may be the worst team in the Pac-12.
I consider Washington and UCLA to be kind of home court heroes. I just don't think that – I mean, again, I know Washington has the win over Texas, but that's really it. And then they've also have a loss to Texas.
But at the same time, we'll know a little more about Washington after their result comes in tonight against, I think it's at Arizona.
Well, I hate to do this because I don't like agreeing with David, but since I'm the arbiter and I have to choose one of those two teams, Colorado is in the field and inside the first four.
Woohoo!
Which leaves us with four more spots. The teams we've mentioned here are Washington, St. Joe's. I want to throw a few teams out there, just a few teams' names out there and let you tell me who your first four are, but a few teams that I think need some consideration here are UCLA, Texas Tech, Oregon State, Texas, Ohio State. A few teams that I think we haven't mentioned that may deserve some discussion, but David, let me start with you. Who's your first four?
Right now it is some of the teams you mentioned.
Okay.
Ohio State, Arizona State, this one's kind of a surprise. You guys keep mentioning St. Joe's. I think the team that is playing the best in the A-10 right now is VCU. I actually like them more than St. Joe's right now. I realize they were really sluggish and their whole body of work and their paper is somewhat struggling. And even if they don't make it into this field, I do think VCU will play their way into the field by the end of the year. And the last team I had, and it's a weak, weak pick. I actually had Florida State.
Okay. John,
I'll agree with you on VCU because of their record in the A-10 so far, but I do not agree at all with Texas Tech anymore because they need to get some quality meat on their resume as far as what they're doing in the Big 12.
Well, John, you like Washington and VCU. Give me the other two then.
I would also submit, since they've also played some tough schedules and actually gotten a few wins out of there, I'll go with UCLA and I'll go with Texas. When we look at UCLA, they've beaten Kentucky and Arizona. They've also won at Gonzaga. And then if we go to Texas, they have wins over North Carolina, Iowa State, and then I could also give them wins against Washington and Kansas State, and also Stanford and Texas Arlington.
David, would you like to respond?
I'm not as big on Texas. I they would be on my next line down. And again, it's just a little bit too schizophrenic and a little too much of a home court hero. I actually have them right, like, a team that I had, if you want to know what my next team in would have been, and I realize that their paper is still really weak, but there is some real, like, meat on their profile recently. I had Clemson really close to the field.
But I do think the committee is going to reward teams who do schedule strongly, like UCLA and Texas. I mean, yeah. Ohio State took a pass as far as scheduling any real meat on their schedule. Same with Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Well, the decision is in. UCLA, Texas, Ohio State are three winners, meaning the teams that were just barely out were St. Joe's, Washington, Florida State, Arizona
and
State.
Alabama.
Yeah. And I think that just goes to
Alabama,
show you.
Alabama's in.
Alabama's in.
Oh, they are in. Okay.
43. Yeah. Arizona State. And to make sure that we covered everybody that was mentioned yeah. here. Yes, we did.
And it just goes to show you that, you know, the tournament's a little bit large. One of the things you don't see in this field so far, although Chad's going to, I mean, we're going to wipe through it. We're not going to debate it. But if you want more coverage on a lot of these teams, you know, that's what Under the Radar is for. You can watch that podcast. But there is a team, Chad, that you're going to put in this field that was not talked about on Under the Radar. We don't have a Mountain West team inside the bubble.
Yeah, you just saw, I am filling in the teams here. At number 50, the final spot on the 12-seed line, I have put Boise State as I'm starting to fill out the rest of the field here. Do you want to make any comments about them or some of these other teams we're putting in? UAB, Hawaii, Chattanooga, and Belmont to fill out the 13 line.
Go ahead, John.
I was going to say, I would like to ask why Chad is favoring Hawaii over UC Irvine at this stage.
Oh, that's a very simple one. David, you want to tell him why? It's a better team, right? Oh.
I still like Irvine. I think they're going to win the league, but you can't really. The one thing, is Boise going to get inside the bubble if they win out? I think they can. But as far as everybody else that's going into the list here, I don't know if UAB can. They might if they win out. Chattanooga might if they win out. So with the exception of Belmont, I don't know. What do you guys think of that? Like, do the teams on the 13 line, and I guess Boise, who's on the 12, can they get inside the bubble if they win out?
I want to see Bakersfield move up the list, if only so we can mention their home floor again.
I really think there's three teams here, Boise, UAB, and Hawaii, that have a shot if they win out. Actually, I'm sorry, maybe just Boise and UAB that have a shot if they went out to get inside the bubble. I don't know that anybody on this list from Hawaii down does. Maybe William & Mary, because they're going to pick up more quality wins in conference.
What about Chattanooga? I mean, they do have...
Chattanooga, I just don't think, has a chance for the quality wins. Literally winning out, don't lose a game again to the conference finals. I think they get a look, but they may have a profile very similar to Murray State's last year at that point.
Oh, it's better than that. Murray State did. I mean, this. They wanted Illinois. They wanted Georgia. They beat teams in the top 200, which Murray
when
State.
I see a team. Go ahead.
Murray State's profile last year was awful.
I was going to say was when I look at a team like Northern Illinois, one of my major pet peeves is that the RPI does not adequately penalize teams like the Huskies for scheduling four non-Division I games. I'll at least listen to arguments for teams out west because of possible travel issues about not being able to play Division I games, but there is no excuse for someone in the Midwest, close to Chicago, that has the capacity to schedule plenty of decent Division I teams around them.
Yeah, I agree with John.
It's a real good point, and I hate these non-D1 games. I really think they got to cut it down to two per season. Right now, you're allowed to schedule four, which includes exhibitions. But if you schedule two close scrimmages and don't do two exhibition games against non D1 teams, you can play four regular season non D1 games. I hate it. I hate it. Right. I can't hate it more.
You know what
I
you
don't
should
think
do?
Grand Canyon is playing four non D1 teams.
They're playing yeah. two. They played two, but.
Well, yeah, you know what you should do if you want to play Div 2 teams? Reclassify!
But on that note, we do have a completed bracket here. A completed C list, I'm sorry. The bracket will be going up. David, just can you show them again where to find it?
Down there. Are we going to discuss any contingencies? I wouldn't move Louisville or Pitt if Louisville holds on the win. What else is going on? BYU sweating a little bit right now against – or I'm sorry, Gonzaga sweating a little bit against BYU. So if you notice the bracket down there looking a little bit different, it's where we are reacting to games that were later tonight, but – I don't anticipate any changes.
I don't think there's going to be much changes. I'm going to double-check those automatic bid winners I gave. I didn't actually check any of the scores in those smaller conferences today. That I made that list before this started. I'm not certain if Bill and Mary won or lost that game today. I know they were in a struggle.
And let's not forget that it was a win at Gonzaga last year that really spurred BYU into the first four of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
But on that note, I guess I'll go to each of you for any final thoughts, and then we're going to call it a night here, starting with John.
Yeah, when you listen to the conversations that we've had tonight where they become a little bit contentious at times, but still plenty of banter and laughter to be shared, this is just a sampling of some of the meetings that we'll have between our colleagues and the real selection committee in March.
Yeah.
So I will be looking forward to that.
David, any final thoughts?
Watching this game makes me want to move Louisville and Pittsburgh down two lines automatically.
Maybe they should just be both disqualified because I don't know that I ever want to see either of these teams play a game again.
Yeah.
But my final comment here is we got Colorado in the field. We almost had Washington in the field. We barely got UCLA in. And quite frankly, I think I like Oregon State better than any of those, but neither of you did, so... you don't know what's going on in the Pac-12, only I do. But on that note, have a great night, everybody.
Actually, John T. does.
Well, he's not here, so...
Yeah, he's not here.
Thanks a lot, everyone. Have a good night.